happy Resurrection Sunday to one and all. Morning. Let us turn to the book of Mark, chapter 16. I'd like to read a few verses there. And then speak from the time of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, and all the way to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Mark chapter 16, starting from verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And entering, verse 5, and entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where he laid him. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can rejoice this resurrection morning, that we can praise our Lord, that he is no more in the grave, but alive. And today, seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Father, we thank you that you are our Father and your Son, our Savior. As we go through the words today, Father, be with me and be with each one of us here so that we can rejoice in the resurrection of your Son and our Lord. We thank you. Thank you once again for everything. We ask all of these things. In Jesus Christ's precious name, amen. As we start this morning, we would look at the life and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we look at it all started with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into to this earth 2,000 years ago. He came here for a purpose, and the purpose was to die for us. He lived on this earth. He was rejected, he was despised, as we remember and recall the song that we sing. And finally, they crucified him. They crucified him, not because they could, but because his Father wanted to. And he wanted to because, why? Because his love for us. His love for us was so great that he was willing to give his life. But they couldn't contain him there. They buried him. They put a rock against his burial place, but they couldn't hold him there. And we know that he rose again on the third day, and today is that day that we are celebrating. We do that once a year, but we do that every day, in fact, rejoicing in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I have some prophecies that was already fulfilled. We see that he was born of a virgin. We know that he was a descendant of Shem and of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and of course of his ministry. But finally, he was betrayed by a friend of his, Judas, for 30 pieces of silver. And we know there was also prophecies for his death and his burial and his resurrection. And we go on. I've got some pictures to show of the Christ that was crucified, his family visiting with him. And we find here this picture here, the third picture here, very beautifully drawn by the artist. And if you look at this soldier here, this Roman soldier, look at the anatomical position that he's piercing Jesus. There was a prophecy in Zechariah 12:10, which reads, then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And that was fulfilled, that prophecy, in John 19:34. And it says, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. When you look at this picture here, what it is he's the Roman soldiers piercing over the left fifth intercostal space. For those that are in the medical field, for those that do EKGs, they know that this left fifth intercostal space is the place that they can pierce and it'll hit the heart. The Romans knew how to kill a man. They were the best of that time, the Roman soldiers. And look at this Roman soldier. So perfectly, the artist has given this, and that's what he did. And blood and water came out there. See another picture here of our Lord Jesus Christ being crucified with two of the robbers on either side of him. And that was another prophecy that was fulfilled. And that same day, later that day, after his crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea went to the Pharisees and asked and requested for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was buried with the rich. He was placed in the tomb with the rich. This was the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And they knew that they were frightened. The Pharisees were frightened that that his disciples and apostles will steal him from there, from his burial place. And so they asked them to roll a stone against this opening here. But you know, no man can stop our Lord. No person, no groups, no one can stop our God. In fact, on the third day, the day that we are celebrating today, he arose. The angels told those that came to see at his grave, he is risen, and he is indeed. And then we will look at the life of Jesus for a time after he was glorified. He rose up with a glorified body. Why did he come up and raise up with a glorified body? Because he was headed to heaven. You know, you need to have a glorified body to go to heaven. And he arose with a glorified body. We see that here. And he met with his disciples. And we see here, this is a group of disciples that he's met with. And who do you think this is in the green and red? Of course, Thomas. He wanted to see the wounds of Jesus. You know, he said, show me. I think he has got some Missouri background. Missouri is a state, a show me state. They are not convinced unless they see. And so was Thomas. And that's what we see here. And we see that Jesus took a walk to Emmaus. And we see those two disciples walking with Jesus. And you know the rest of the story there. And turning to Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 10, I like to read a few verses in between here. And when they therefore were come together, Acts chapter 1, verse 6, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. We know this passage, but then what happened? And when he had spoken these, and while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of his sight. Can you imagine the astonishment and the surprise of the disciples as they were standing there on the Mount of Olives, and there goes their Lord, and there goes our Lord. He just took off. We know all of the story, but I want to come into a very particular story as we go further down, and we will look at it. Jesus arose and he ascended to heaven on the 40th day after his resurrection. When they were there, there were angels standing there, and these men, the apostles, were very concerned, very worried that their Savior, that their Master is gone. And he says, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up unto heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." This same Jesus is coming. And we are looking forward for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, before Jesus left, he had something very important to tell his disciples, and that is in Acts chapter 2. He told them to wait and don't disperse themselves and to be in Jerusalem till a comforter comes. He said, I must go, and so that I can send you the comforter. And he did. Look at Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where all were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, which means other people's languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Just a picture, this is not what actually happened, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and cloven tongues of fire was placed on their body. This is just to show the impact that happened. And the tongues were not on fire, but their spirit was. And we look at, on that day of Pentecost, the church began. The beginning of the church is on the day of Pentecost. And when does the church age end? It started on the day of Pentecost, and it'll end on the day of rapture. And we are waiting now for the greatest event this world has ever known, and that is the rapture of the church. And it is soon going to happen. There is no more, not anything more that has to be done for the day of the rapture to be here. It could be before the end of this service. It could be next week. It could be a month. But we do not know the time when that is going to happen. And that rapture of the church is going to be a glorious event, and that is going to happen. But the question is, when the rapture happens, let me just minimize this slide. When the rapture happens and we go to heaven, what are we going to do there? There are two important events that will happen when we are in heaven, when we are raptured up, or we are caught up, or we are snatched up. When we are snatched up to heaven, then there are two events that is going to happen. The first event that is going to happen is the Bema Seat of Judgment. The Bema Seat of Judgment is a time when we are judged. That means our work will be judged. How about our sin? Are we going to be judged for our sin? No, our sin has already been judged. When? When was our sin judged? Our sin was judged 2,000 years ago by our Lord Jesus Christ. He took our sins upon himself and took it to the cross, and he nailed it to the cross. Our sins, it was already judged 2,000 years ago. So what is this, that Bema Seat of Judgment, or Judgment Seat of Christ, that we will be facing? In Romans chapter 14, verses 9 to 12, it says, "For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of God, so then each of us will give an account to God of what we have done." And that is the good that we have done, and even the bad the bad will all be burned up. The bad will all be burned up, but the good will all shine as gold and silver and precious stones. And we will be rewarded then with crowns that Jesus has promised us. The five crowns is the crown of righteousness, crown of life, crown of glory, incorruptible crown, and the crown of rejoicing. And each one of them, just to mention, crown of righteousness are those for those that await his coming, pray for his coming, look forward for his coming. And we all need to work for the crowns that we are eligible to get. Now, what's the second event that is going to happen? The second event that is going to happen is the marriage of the Lamb. This evening at our Bible study, Revelation chapter 19, we'll be looking further and a little bit more elaborately on it. And the marriage of the Lamb is the second event that's going to be for the believers that is raptured up to heaven. The marriage of the Lamb. And we see the bride. And who is the bride? We, the church. You know, our church is going to have two of our members of the church to be married very shortly. We wish them all the best. And it is a tremendous occasion for those men and women that's going to be married. But here, the marriage is between our Lord and the church. And we see that here. And another picture of the marriage of the Lamb. The bride is here, and our Lord is waiting for the bride. Now, as soon as that happens, of course, then the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ takes place. But then what happens on earth during the time after we are raptured up and we are in heaven? Something happens on this earth. And what is it that happens on this earth? And that is the beginning of tribulation. Tribulation starts here. And I know that a lot of you, or most of you, have been following with me the book of Revelation. We have come to completed chapter 18, which means we are done with the tribulation period. Chapter 6 to chapter 18 is the tribulation period. But I want you to listen a few very important things as I'm going to speak in the next few minutes. The tribulation is going to be for a period of 7 years. And that could happen anytime. If the rapture happens today, then tribulation is next. Tribulation is no fun time. And we don't want to be here during the tribulation. And as believers, we will not be here because we are raptured up already and we are in heaven. With the rapture of the church, there'll be massive confusion. There will be chaos in this world. There are people missing in this world. There are accidents that's going to happen. And the chaos is so great that people will not understand what happened. There will be weeping and crying of millions of people. People are just standing there, and suddenly in that conversation, a few are missing. Can you imagine what is going to happen to those that are left on this earth? Crying and weeping and all kinds of things are going on. Papers will be having German newspaper publishers' names of 33,000 who disappeared. What's the reason? UFO, alien abduction, whatever be the reason. 150 children missing. Family need answers because their dad is missing. Their favorite professor is missing. They disappeared, searching for 40,000 missing. That will be the news of the day. And people will be panicking, running back and forth. Where is my mom? Where is my dad? And that is when the rapture happens. The period of tribulation is for 7 years. And after the tribulation happens, our Lord Jesus Christ will be coming back. Now, it will be at this time, shortly after at the start of the tribulation, a very influential European leader will arise, and he will give the explanation about the disappearance of the millions, or maybe even billions of people from the face of this earth. This explanation will calm the fears and the anxieties of the people, and they will be convinced because of this disappearance, because of the reason this very influential European leader will give. Once what happened is, and I've got a picture here, I deliberately put this picture because I've got more things coming as I will be speaking this morning. This is a picture of a prominent European leader, and this European leader, the 10 Nation Council, will form a peace treaty with Israel and maybe even with the West. And this earth will be jubilant. Israel will be happy. The Jews will be happy because there is a peace treaty. And the peace treaty is going to be for 7 years. Wonderful 7 years. And this is during the tribulation time. There'll be much joy at that time after the peace treaty. People will be happy. They'll be rejoicing. They'll be praising this leader, and they all will be following this leader. And the Jews will start the building of the next or the third temple, which is called the Tribulation Temple, to worship their God. They're exceedingly happy. In spite of all this joy and happiness and peace treaty and all of this, suddenly something happens. And that's something that happens is the appearance of two witnesses on the scene. The witnesses for God, and this world will be so upset. Will be so upset because who is what these two witnesses are saying, and they are witnessing for God. They're witnessing for the word of God and the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this world will not be happy. This world will be upset. They were so rejoicing because of all the good things that were happening. And with the appearance of these two witnesses, the present tribulation people will not be happy. Picture of the temple, tribulation temple being built, and just a picture of the Antichrist sitting in the Holy of Holies, causing the abomination of desolation. Two witnesses picture blowing their trumpet. And Christ Jesus then, remember, we are with Christ. We are not on this earth. Believers will not go through the tribulation here. So if we have anyone that do not know Jesus as a Savior, that do not know and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, they need to be saved. They need to get to know Jesus and believe in that. And so now Jesus Christ in heaven will take the scroll from the right hand of God, and he will open the scroll with the seven seals. And we see that the four horsemen of the apocalypse appears on the scene, and herein there will start fierce and terrible judgment on this earth. And we see the first horse as the man on the white horse, and that he will go conquering and taking care of things. The second one is the red horse, and they will start war and all kinds of problems there. The third one is the black horse, leading to famine. Naturally, after wars, usually there is a supply chain shortages of supplies and disruptions of the supply chain, and there's famine and death. And of course, the fourth horse, with the opening of the fourth seal, is the pale horse that causes death. 1/4 of the population of this world will be dead. 1/4. You know, we have gone through this pandemic now, and we are saddened about every death that has happened. Even one death is a little too much. But imagine 1/4 of the population of this world will be dead. 1/4. And then somewhere along this line, somewhere, there will be something else that'll happen. And that will be God will send an angel to seal 144,000 of his chosen people, Jews. You probably have seen this picture earlier, sealing up that 144,000 people 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. Each tribe. We do not know when exactly, at what point from the start of tribulation will this happen, but it will happen for the service of the Lord. Now, listen carefully. It is important. Most of you may know this already, but I want to let you know, in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2, John says, Apostle John says, "And I saw a white horse." You probably remember that. When we were going through the book of Revelation, I did not bring this up because I did not want to confuse the whole thing that's going on over there at that time. It was bad enough, but it gets worse. Look at this. "And I saw the white horse," and it is very interesting that the followers of Islam, they believe that this man on this white horse is their Mahdi. Their Mahdi is their savior. Their Mahdi is their savior, which is our Antichrist. This Antichrist that we consider coming on this white horse in Revelation chapter 6, and verse 2 is the followers of Islam's savior. I hope you get the impact of this. This Mahdi, this is also their 12th imam. I do not know if you remember, there was a president of Iran that gave glory to the 12th imam, and they are praying for the coming, for the 12th imam to come. And this 12th imam is the Mahdi, M-A-D-H-I. And they have 12 imams, and this is the last and final imam, and that will bring the end of the time of this earth, as they believe, and rightly so. And we believe that the rider on the white horse is the Antichrist, and the followers of Islam believe that this rider on the white horse is actually their savior. The ex-president of Iran, his name is Ahmadinejad. When he spoke, he always gave glory to the 12th imam. He's like John the Baptist, preparing the way, as John the Baptist was preparing the way for Jesus Christ. This ex-president of Iran, he is paving the way for their Mahdi. Their Mahdi is their savior, is our Antichrist. So if you look at it, they are praying for them, for his coming. We are praying for our Lord Jesus to come. In fact, more than half the world is praying for the end of this world. And so I believe that the time is very short. People are looking and praying for their saviors to come. They believe that this 12th imam is the Mahdi, who is coming to control and take control of this world and bring peace and calm into this chaotic world. And after that, he will rule from where? From Jerusalem. He will rule from Jerusalem and take control of this world. And we know that this Antichrist will rule from Jerusalem, the abomination of desolation. So you can see how the stories are developing and how they have skewed the story and the belief, the truth that we have that is given by God. And they also believe that this 12th imam is hiding presently in a well, W-E-L-L, in Iran, south of Tehran, their capital, called Jamkaran, J-A-M-K-A-R-A-N. And there are people flocking to this place, and they are praying. You know, what has happened is they have closed off the well, because they are frightened that their followers will jump into the well and go in searching for their savior. And they have closed down the well. This is the mosque, at Jemkaran. And these are the people that is there. Look at this. They've got this thing built up like a box over this well. And they've got a little openings there. They can put prayer requests and letters to their Savior. Letters to their Savior. Got another picture of a lady putting a prayer request to their Savior, which is the Mahdi, which is the rider on the white horse in chapter 6 of Revelation, 6 verse 2. Another picture. This is the well down here. And on top, it is all closed up. This is the box. And people go there, pray, and they're looking forward for this Mahdi. You see, the followers of Islam believe that all the Jews need to be killed because they are infidels. They should not be. And we know that Iran is calling for the elimination of the nation of Israel. And United States, they consider the great Satan because we are the supporters and protectors of the nation of Israel. And they believe this Mahdi is going to kill the Jews. And they are after that. The greatest, most known killer of the Jews is this man. And of course, we have had several stories and happenings. Pittsburgh synagogue killer. We see here, this is the man, the follower or follower of Islam, the ex-president of Iran, Ahmadinejad. A little hard to pronounce that name. And he is their John the Baptist, waiting and praying for their Mahdi, their Messiah. The followers of Islam believe that Jesus Christ did not die. Listen to this. The believers, the followers of Islam believe that Jesus Christ did not die. In fact, he was taken up just like Elijah was taken up, and that he will return one day after their Savior comes back, the Mahdi, or come back along with him, and he will be like the false prophet that we have in the book of Revelation. And he will control and convince the Jews and the Christians, saying that all that you believe was wrong. Can you imagine? There needs to be a lot of prayer for these folks. There is another group that do not believe in the resurrection. One is the followers of Islam. Secondly, the followers of the Jehovah Witnesses don't believe in the resurrection like we do. Also we find that in their Quran and in their Hadith, the Quran is, they believe, is the word of Allah, and the Hadith is the word of Muhammad, their prophet, and the works that he has done. And they believe that they should carry a black flag, and they do that today. They carry a black flag. The Iranian army carries that, and on the black flag, there is one word, and that one word is punishment. And we see this. This is a picture of the Iranian army with their president sitting there watching this happening. They've got three men that the followers of Islam believe, which are prominent in their Islamic eschatology. Imagine they have their own eschatology. And one is the Mahdi. Secondly is Jesus. They don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again. They don't. And the third person they have is somebody called Dajjal. Dajjal. And that Dajjal or Dajjal. And that man is a one-eyed man. Is a one-eyed man that is something like this. This is so creepy, but it is true. They believe that. And Dajjal is Islam's false messiah. False messiah. They believe he's a liar, he's a deceiver, and is deceiving their messiah, the Mahdi. He's an evil one-eyed person. In most of their writings, it is told that the Mahdi and Isa or Isa, which is Jesus, will come back together to the earth to control this earth. And of course, that Isa, which is Jesus, will be his assistant. Can you imagine the teaching that is going on with the followers of Islam? And we have to pray for them because it is very important. You know, we have had, or me and Molly have had some encounters with some Muslim young men trying to give them the gospel, and it is extremely difficult, extremely. I didn't realize with all this teaching that they have, how can we keep giving them the gospel when this is what it is? The gospel has been twisted for them. And then we know that at mid-tribulation, two witnesses that came at the beginning, they are killed by Satan and they are left on the ground without giving them a proper burial. They lie there for 3.5 days. And at the end of 3.5 days, the Spirit of God gets into them and they are raised up, they are resurrected, and they go on up to heaven. At the same time, at mid-tribulation, this false prophet, the beast that came out of the earth, places an image of the Antichrist, which is the beast that came out of the sea, and ask the people to worship him. This is the abomination of desolation. They are told that if they do not follow him, they do not worship him, they will be killed. And the Jews realize at that time that they have been tricked, that they have been fooled. This is the Antichrist way of trying to eliminate the Jews. The picture of Antichrist being seated at the temple of God in Jerusalem, and they want them to take the mark of the beast, which is 666. The Jews then realizes they have been fooled and they start running away, trying to avoid death. This is followed by the trumpet judgment, which we have looked at, and the war judgments, which is the fifth and the sixth trumpet soundings. And the second bowl, which is the sixth trumpet, what happens is another one-third of the people of this world are killed, resulting in one-half of the population of this world being killed with the second bowl judgment. Jesus Christ said, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. When we look at what happens with the rapture of the church, the tribulation starts, and three of the judgments are the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. At the end of the bowl judgments, and shortly after, the war of Armageddon, or the battle of Armageddon, starts, and the beginning of the coming of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ takes place. And we will be coming back with him at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he will put the battle under his control and eliminate all of them. And we know that he will then usher in into the millennial kingdom. Our Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen today. He is what we are worshiping. He is the one. You know, we have much to pray for the followers of Islam, for the others that do not believe in the resurrection, because if they don't believe in the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, they have no salvation. So we have got much work to do. We have much prayer to do. You see, it is important that we realize that we got to do that, because that's what we are told to do. So we know that these times are difficult, and we are waiting for the rapture of the church. This evening, we will continue with the study of the book of Revelation. We'll be going to Revelation chapter 19, and hopefully by the end of this month, we will finish the book of Revelation. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you to know that Jesus Christ is risen. We thank you that you have given us the faith that our Lord Jesus Christ is risen. We thank you, O Father. Father, we pray for each one that is here with us in person and also on Zoom. We pray that you would bless each one, Lord. We also pray for the people that do not believe in Jesus, in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for them. We do not want any of our families to go through this tribulation, O Lord. And we pray that you would, the Holy Spirit will speak with them, O Lord. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for your blessings. And we thank you for resurrection. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.